What's in a name? There are a bunch of us in here, maybe not everybody, but there are a bunch of us in here that who are parents who paused before we named our children. Do you remember those days? Now, there are some of you that are right in the middle of it right now and so forth, but you went through the book, you know, and looked for the names and you know, names that were really, really cool and hip back in, you know, the 50s. There wasn't hip. Yeah, there was hip in the 50s, but doesn't look like now. But in the 60s and the 70s, and I remember when our boys were born, and we thought so much about the name and how does it sound, and does it blend well with the middle name, and does it, you know, and then, you know, I grew up in the era when they had just like creepy weird names, you know, that they would name their kids, you know, stuff like that. And but names have meaning, and so many of the names that we hold or that we have named our children with have background, they have history. I'm not going to go through that, but I was just thinking through, you know, John is not a really popular name these days. It doesn't fall on the list the way that it used to 20 or 25 years ago. But to know that John means God is gracious, in my book, that ought to be right at the top. Or Karen. Karen means pure. It's a great name. It's like that. I was looking at my kids and my you know, daughters-in-laws and all of them, and I realized that my my one daughter-in-law's name, her name is Melissa, and it means honeybee. Really? That is not the first thing I'm thinking of when I think of her. You know, honeybee. And my all-time favorite, okay, my all-time favorite, Michael. Michael, who is like God. I don't like that one. There's a story in the Old Testament. It's pretty famous. Now, by the way, Chris, when I move, does it buzz? It's just like totally random. Okay. Honey. Story in the Old Testament. Even if you don't spend a lot of time in church, you've heard a little bit about this one. It's not completely unfamiliar. It was when God decided to talk to Moses out of the burning bush. You know, his voice comes out of this bush. It is a great story. It's in Exodus chapter 3. You read the whole thing. But God has this conversation with Moses out of a bush. And the fact that he had it out of the bush is, frankly, insignificant to me. It is what the conversation was about that has all the substance to it. And I'm just going to look at one part of it here. It says, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Because that was what God wanted Moses to do, was to go lead the children of Israel. And what if they ask, you know, if they bring up, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? What am I going to tell them? What am I going to tell them? They're going to ask me, okay, this dude spoke to you out of a burning bush. Do you know his name even? Can you identify him? And this is, without a doubt, the single best response in the Bible to any question that was ever asked. In my book, the answer, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. And I don't know if you can see it in the yellow. I am has sent me to you. Okay, all of the English majors, grammar, you're looking at that going, it's wrong. That doesn't sound right. He says, no, tell them I am sent you. This is my name forever. The name you shall call me from generation to generation is I am. The significance of that is huge. Even generation to generation to right now, that the name of our God is I Am. Now, I am not a Hebrew scholar. We have a couple here in our church family who I tend to go to ask questions about Hebrew history and the life of the Jews, especially prior to the time of Jesus. But here's just a short explanation right now. When we read the Old Testament, if we were to read it in its original language, and trust me, this is a shortened version of this, what I'm going to tell you. Anytime the word God shows up, or what we would say God shows up in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, here's what it looks like if we're going to read it in Hebrew. It's those four letters. Every time it shows up, it looks like that in the Hebrew writings. Four consonants make up the divine name. It is found more than 6,000 times in the Old Testament. Those four consonants. Well, the reason why it shows up that way is that in Hebrew writing, it didn't include vowels. They just didn't show up. They showed up later when they translated it into other languages, but in the Hebrew language, there are no vowels, there are only consonants, and that's what it looks like. There was such a reverence for the name of God that it led to the practice of avoiding saying the name at all. Orthodox Jews just would not even speak the word. There was no word. It was simply, God is I Am. He is existence. He is everything. And that's how they grew up, revering the name of God. In time, it became too holy to pronounce in any way at all. And Jews ended up using the word Adonai instead. And that is the Hebrew word for Lord. It comes from the verb to be. It's kind of a form of I Am. But they could say Adonai. So in most Bible translations, this is just history, and because you'll see it in your Bible, whenever in the original Hebrew, whenever those four consonants show up in your Bible, and you can open it today if you want to look at it, it is the word Lord in all capital letters. Have you ever asked yourself why, when you read the Old Testament, Lord is always in all capital letters? Well, that is sort of our homage to our Hebrew history. And it means Lord. The Latin word that they picked to go along with that one was Yahweh. Remember, we have sang that song the past couple of weeks here. Yahweh. That's where it comes from. We started studying the Ten Commandments a couple of weeks ago, and we've gotten to number 3 today. The reason why we're talking about the name is because the name factors prominently in commandment number 3. All right? Here's how it looks in your Bible. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. This is probably the most well-known of all of the commandments in my book. People who don't revere God, who don't know God, they've heard this one before. Yeah, you can't take the name of the Lord in vain. Well, I guess I'm going to start off by saying today that I don't think that it simply means we're not supposed to use it or misuse it in an improper way. And all of us are thinking, I just want you to think, what is the most popular way that most people think the Lord's name is taken in vain today? It's rolling across your forehead right now. Okay, you know it. Okay, because many of us were raised with that. You can't say that one. Well, you know what? If your children are here and you don't want them to hear it, I'm going to say it right now. Because frankly, it is not an improper statement, okay, to call on God to damn something. Okay? To say, God, I am praying to you to damn that over there. Okay? Now, I don't think people who say that today have that kind of thought process as they are going through when those words spew out, okay? But I guess I want you to see that this commandment is, from my point of view, is really not primarily about cussing and profanity or attaching the word God to, you know, our casual expressions of joy or frustration. There was a moment a number of years ago. I mean, such significant things happen at Men's Whataburger on Thursday mornings. And this is my, I'm just going to encourage you, if you can stop, if you're a guy and you can stop by, amazing, amazing things happen that shape the course of humanity there. There was one Thursday morning, and I can't remember the exact context, but it had to do, I think, with football, which is a common topic there, and speaking about a really hard hit that somebody did on another football player, you know? And one of the guys there says, yeah, he knocked the bejesus out of him. And me, being a foreigner to this land, okay, that we live in, I'd never heard that before. Okay, don't do that to me, okay? I go, the bejesus? What does that mean? Well, men are skilled these days, I want you to know, at pulling out their smartphones. Okay, and there's like 10 smartphones going, trying to find the history and the etymology of bejesus, okay? And we find out that bejesus is a shortened, or it's kind of a morphed form of by Jesus. It used to be a really positive thing, where if something happened, somebody would say, well, that must be by Jesus that it would have happened. It turned into bejesus, which is sort of a, I don't even know what it is. Okay? But we are people, and you've heard these things. They may have come out of your mouth. For the love of God. Okay, don't judge me. I'm setting this up here. I'm not going to say a couple of them. Or you hear it to somebody say, I wish to God this, you know, and it goes on from there. Or, again, there's just a whole list of them. I don't need to go through them. And I'm telling you that this, I think this commandment is way more than that. Now, I think we can choose different words, and there is a level of disrespect when we say those things. But I want you to see today where that level of disrespect comes from. And maybe it'll make a difference. What did this mean to the original hearers? I don't know. I studied and studied and studied to see what were the original hearers. You know, when Moses came down out of the mountains with those tablets and he read number 3, don't take the name of the Lord in vain, what would they have thought? There's probably a lot of things, but it's interesting. We live here and now, and I think more people have an answer to what does it mean to take the Lord's name in vain than they would answering what are the Ten Commandments? What are the names of the Gospels? What's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? We've got a feeling about this, taking the Lord's name in vain. Vain means worthless, emptiness, falsehood, nothingness. We can actually see its meaning in Jesus' teaching on prayer. Jesus taught his followers how to pray in the Sermon on the Mount. You remember how the beginning of the Lord's Prayer goes? It's emboldened in us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Respected be your name. Honored be your name. Revered be your name. To not hold the Lord's name in vain would be to hold it, the name, in absolute highest esteem. I'm just going to say, you know, we kind of reduce this, you know, somebody says a cuss word or somebody, you know, pops the God word into a statement that doesn't really fit, and we, you know, roll our eyes, or we, you know, some people get a little uncomfortable or whatever, or we just sort of take it as the norm now. And I guess I want you to leave from here today understanding that it is way, way more than that. To pray this prayer means may your name be lifted up. May it be valued and respected, this name. There are many of us who have said to our children as they have grown up, usually after they have been caught doing something wrong in some big moment, and we look at them and we go, hey, buddy, you carry my name. We said that to our sons. You carry the Pharaoh name. And that has some significance to Pharaohs. It may not have any significance to anybody else, but it does to us. So everywhere you go, everything that you do is still a reflection on me, as I am a reflection on my family that raised me. There is some significance to all of that. The first commandment said, you will have no other gods before you. The second command said, you are not to make any images of God and bow to those images, because you cannot reduce God and put him in a box. You can't reduce God to a piece of jewelry that you hang around your neck. And the third commandment, you will not take the name of the Lord in vain, explains why. And that is because the name of God is greater than any other name. It cannot be contained. So the command to his followers was, do not ever let the name of God be worthless in your life. Never. Never. I don't really have anything cute to say today. I try not to anyway. This is just sort of some straight talk. There's shows on television. We watch them. Some of you watch them a lot. You know the home remodel shows? Okay, they become so popular these days. And they remodel a house. And they keep the homeowner out for a while. And then they walk in the door to see it for the first time. You know this moment, because some of us churchy-like people, we're waiting to see which line they use. Whether they're going to say, oh my gosh, this looks so amazing. Or if they're going to say, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Or if they're just going to be blunt about it and go, oh my God, oh my God. For some of us in here, your skin just crawled when I said it that way. Because we've been raised, we're not to say it that way. But you have texting emojis on your phone. You don't even have to answer when somebody says something shocking or good. You just send the OMG. Okay? You send it right away. I remember when our kids said it for the first time, because they heard some friends say, because we don't say, oh my God, at things in our house. And the first time one of them said it when they walked in, it was like, Oh man, you're lucky you didn't get knocked to the other side of the house, you know, for that one, you know. Well, I just want to say that, oh my God, there is nothing wrong with that. As long as that's how you're beginning your prayer. There's nothing wrong. That's the beginning of prayer. Oh my God. We find those prayers uttered in the Bible. Many of you have prayed a prayer like that. Oh my God. There are songs that we sing that say, oh my God, how great you are. Let's read it again. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain means never, never to do anything that would cause the name of God to be disrespected. This is my understanding of this command. I think when they were originally given, it was definitely tied to pagan worship and some other things going on. But this is today, and this is now. And my encouragement to you is this today. Never, ever, if you want to obey this command, which I hope you do, never, ever do anything that would cause the name of God to be respected or that His name would be seen as empty or useless or even a joke. To hold it in sacredness. Because when you hold His name, when you hold it in your voice, when you hold it in your thinking, when you hold it in your conversation, you are holding His reputation. You're holding the essence of who He is. It's not just a name, because His name is I Am. The name represents who He is to all of us. Yeah, I think every one of us in this room, every one of us, need to check what we say in our joking. If there's profanity that rolls off your lips, you need to check that. But even more important, what we need to check is our casual and thoughtless disrespect of His name on a deeper level. Here, to me, this is what it means. Taking the name of God in vain means making a joke out of God by who we are and how we live. It is making a joke out of God. Now you see, that hits way closer to home, doesn't it? It's easy to walk around and go, I got that third command in my back pocket. And I have holy language. I don't ever say those kinds of things. Yeah. It's way more than this. It means making a joke out of His name by who we are and how we live. It means living in such a way that would cause people to question the majesty of God, or maybe even just the reality of God, the truth of His Word, that He has power to change lives. When my life becomes the opposite reflection of the name of God, then I'm taking His name in vain. You want to put a modern word on it? It's really not modern at all. It means living as a hypocrite. Saying we are His, but not living like it. Two-faced, making our agenda bigger than His, making our issues larger than His. You see, this command is significant. But I think it's significant in a profoundly personal way. The band, you guys can come up. I'm done. We are to be careful every day, not because we are concerned about the lightning bolt coming out of heaven that's going to strike us dead if we say, "Oh my God." Okay? Or even worse, I want to live afraid of God zapping me because I have ventured off the line, you know, somewhat. I want to live in such a way that is a reflection of God's holiness and His purity and His righteousness. I want to use His name when I want to bring attention to who He is. That's when I want to use His name. And when His name comes off our lips, we are drawing attention to Him, good or bad. Use His name. Use His name a lot this week. When you want to acknowledge His existence and His transcendence, use it a lot. Don't be afraid to say His name in front of people. Just got to back it up some, you see, because they go together. There are a lot of people. There are a lot of people who sign off on their emails or letters by "God bless." I think that's a great way to end your email, if you believe it and if you mean it. You see, this one's practical. This is one we take with us as we go out today. We're going to sing a song. After that song, is Jason here? I don't know. Corey, you're going to come up and pray. We'll pray for communion. We'll spend just a little bit of time remembering again that the name of God, which is so awesome because His name is now Jesus, because God became human. The name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And that starts right here. That's what our communion time will be about, to remember that He holds the name that is above all other names, the one that you will bow to when you share communion. If you're here for the first time, you can share communion when it comes by. You can take the cup and drink it and put it back in the tray, or you can take it and hold it, however you want to do that. That is up to you. But we're going to, in these next couple of minutes, we're going to actually praise the name. May that happen for you in these moments.